Well, today, we're kind of, this is the last day, which is kind of crazy. It's kind of sad. I would love to say it's bittersweet, but I don't see any sweetness with it, so it's just bitter. But that's okay, because we will reconvene in the fall, and that will be awesome. And today we kind of get to look back a little bit at all that God has done in the book of Joshua and how that has impacted our lives. And so we have had the opportunity to learn about God's faithfulness, about God's dependability, and about God's unconditional love that He has for His people. And we have discovered through God's faithfulness that we are able to overcome all fear by relying on Him. And so today we are going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate God's faithfulness in our own lives through the taking of communion. And honestly, I don't think there could be a better day for us to come together and actually do this, because we all just had the opportunity 2 days ago to really reflect on what the purpose is as believers for us to take communion. And that is Jesus' sacrifice and His victory over death and sin in our lives. So, yeah, we can clap about that. As you walked in today, you should have received this little cup with some grape juice and then a little wafer cracker. Did each one of you get these? If you did not, could you raise your hand? Oh, quite a few, because we have some greeters that will come along and give you those. And today, before we take communion together as a body of believers, I want to make sure that we all have a clear understanding of what communion is and why it's important for us as believers to partake in communion. And so we are going to take a quick glance at communion historically and then apply that to us personally. So 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" And here in this passage, we see the heart behind communion. We are able to see what was intended for communion and why we take communion. Communion, the word communion in the Greek is koinonia. And koinonia, we oftentimes consider that, or we know the other meaning, is fellowship. And so the Oxford English Dictionary defines communion as the sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings. So that kind of sounds like fellowship. This helps define what communion is and what Paul was trying to portray in 1 Corinthians. And I believe he was trying to say that it is an intimate time of reflection and for us to remember, for us to meditate on what Jesus has done for us in our lives and what He did on that day on the cross 2,000 years ago. It is in that light that we come to understand that communion is so much more than just a religious tradition. As Christians, communion is about coming together in fellowship. It's about celebrating and reflecting on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and remembering His death and His resurrection. And when we can reflect on these things, we can see and understand why Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. And we can see what held Him there. And it was our sin. And we need to remember that it is the sins of our past, it is the sins of today, and it is the sins of the future. Historically, the Israelites had to make atonement for their sins daily. Atonement is to make amends for wrongdoings, there's no wrongs, to recompense or to make right. And in the Old Testament, we learn of the covenant God made with the Israelites for their atonement, and Moses describes it in Exodus 29:36, the sin offering. He says, "And you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement." And although this was an Old Testament practice, I believe it's something that we should not forget about today, because it is still sin today that separates us from the love of God, that separates us from God. And we still need atonement for our sins daily. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And in my own personal life, I oftentimes can read that to myself as, "For all have sinned and daily fall short of the glory of God." Because honestly, ladies, we do. We mess up every day. And it is understanding and grasping that we are able to consider our depravity before we can actually comprehend our need for dependency upon God. We are so dependent on Jesus as sacrifice, and we are dependent upon him for salvation and sanctification. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness." And John 1:29 says that the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So the difference between the Old Testament covenant and the New Testament covenant, or the covenant we have today, simply stated, is Jesus. Jesus sacrifice is all that we need. We no longer have to put a burnt offering on an altar daily, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. God has offered us a free gift of eternal life and eternal forgiveness through the life, the death, and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And understanding that historically, what that comes from, why we have always needed atonement for our sins. We have always messed up. We have always been human. And we've always needed something to atone, something to make that right. And now, today, we don't have to, simply because of Jesus. But I think that points to what we need. And it shows where that personal application comes in, because I can't be forgiven without a Savior and without atonement. And so I want you guys to examine yourselves personally and ask yourself, who is Jesus Christ in my life? Who is Jesus Christ to me? C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, says it best: "Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God." Ladies, once you determine in your life who Jesus is to you, I want you to ask yourselves, what does his sacrifice mean to me? And as I stand here today, I don't know what Jesus' sacrifice means to each one of you personally. Some of you may be sitting here today and think that it was a beautiful story, a nice gesture. Others may see it as a free ticket, one they'll utilize when the time is right. Maybe when they have cheated death for the last time, they then will receive this gift of eternal life that God is offering. Although I don't know where you stand today, what I do know is what the Bible tells me. And the Bible tells me that Jesus' sacrifice means so much more than that. It means that you are loved. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It also tells me that you are saved by grace, that we are saved by grace. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And it also tells us that Jesus' sacrifice has the ability and capability to make you a new person in him. When it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So what does communion mean to the Christian? Well, I believe there are six R's that we can apply to our lives and help us really grasp what communion should mean to us personally. And the first is communion is about a relationship. It is an outward expression of your personal relationship with the Lord and your faith in Him. Secondly, communion is a time to remember. Jesus tells us Himself, do this in remembrance of Me. So we do this to remember God, but we also can think of it as we do this so He can forget. If we remember what He has done on our behalf, He is able to cross out all of our transgressions and He will forget all of our sins because of His love for us. Thirdly, communion is about a time of reflection. Reflecting on our past, who we were before Christ versus who we are in Christ today, and also reflecting on the present. Thinking and considering the strongholds that we might have today, the sins that keep catching us off guard, or the struggles that we face day in and day out, and we need to surrender to the Lord. Communion is a time of repentance. We daily fall short of the glory of God, and so we daily need to go before the Lord in prayer and repent. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Communion is also a time for restoration. Following your choice to repent, you will receive the restoration of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, communion is a time for rejoicing. We may fall short of the glory of God every day, but we can rejoice in the fact that we have been redeemed. It is through God's redemption that we are saved. And Isaiah 43:1 says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And as we prepare to take these elements together and to celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives, what He has done in this past semester or possibly year of studying Joshua and seeing how we can live fearlessly, I want you to meditate on those six R's: relationship, remember, reflect, repent, restore, and rejoice. However, as you consider the six R's, I also want each and every one of us to consider the warning that we receive in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 29, which says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Or it could say, every man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Ladies, in order for us to really receive the blessings and really be able to celebrate communion as a body, we must first have a personal relationship with the Lord. You could say that the five R's following the first R are a byproduct of having a personal relationship with the Lord. In order for you to truly be blessed through the process of remembering what Jesus has done for you to be blessed by reflecting on where God has taken you from, for you to be blessed from repenting and then receiving restoration and being able to rejoice in that restoration, you first have to know the intimacy of the Lord. You have to have an intimate relationship with the Savior. So again, before we take the elements, I urge you to ask yourselves, am I right with Christ today? do I live for God, or am I living this life for myself, for someone else, or maybe something else? If you cannot confidently say to yourself that you are in an active relationship with the Lord, and what I mean by active is that you pursue the Lord through righteous living, through prayer and the study of His Word. If you can't say you do those things, or at least one of those things, then I want you to pause and really consider what we're about to do and what you're about to partake in, because I don't want you to bring judgment upon yourself. I want you to consider the relationship that you could have with the Lord if you just pause and examine yourselves. I think that it's something we need to do as believers. It's not just if you are lost and you need to be found. Granted, yes, if you have never had a personal relationship with the Lord, you do need to consider the depth of what He has done for our sake. But as Christians, I think we need to examine ourselves regularly and make sure that we are right before the Lord. Make sure that we're not living a facade. We're not just painting on the Christian face. We're not just going about our day thinking that we have it all right, but in our hearts knowing deep down that we're not right with the Lord. So as we prepare to take the elements, we're going to first go before the Lord in prayer. And I just ask that you set the elements aside, each and every one of us. Set the elements aside and examine your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are just in awe of who you are and what you have done. Lord, to even ponder and think of all that you went through on our behalf, Lord, I think of your faithfulness and your unconditional love, what it would take for you to be nailed to a cross blamelessly for the sins of every other person other than yourself, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for that sacrifice. Lord, I ask that you would convict each and every one of us in this room of sin that we may be holding on to. Lord, maybe we want control of a certain area of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to seeing that we need to surrender that to you. God, we may be stuck in a relationship or pursuing the wrong relationship, Lord. I pray that you would reveal that to us now. Ladies, if there is anyone in here who does not know the Lord personally, but would like to dedicate their life to the Lord today, would you please raise up your hand? Perhaps you thought you had a strong relationship with the Lord, but as you sit here and you really think about it, you realize that you wear a mask. You realize that you still have your hands gripped tight on parts of your life that you need to relinquish to the Lord. If that is you, if you do not have every confidence, if you have any shadow of a doubt in you that you may not be right with the Lord today, and you want to get right with the Lord now before we take the elements, would you raise up your hand? I see your hand. I see you in the family room to my left. Anyone else? There is no condemnation here. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to fear. You don't have to worry about the person beside you. I just want you to think about you personally and your walk with the Lord today. Do you need a fresh start? Today might be the last day of study, but it could be a day of new beginnings for you. If that is you, will you slip up your hand? Lord, we thank you for these ladies. We thank you for them being able to acknowledge their need for you. Lord, our depravity. And what that reveals is our dependency on you, Lord, that we need to depend fully on you, God. I pray that you would help these ladies walk in that, Lord, to embrace you with open arms. If you raised your hand in the quietness of your own heart, please say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I fall short of your glory every day. Lord, but I need you. Lord, I ask that you would come into my life, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you would direct my every step. Lord, I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again from the dead for my sake. Lord, I just ask that you would help me walk this life with you. Become my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Well, now we grab our little, I don't know, presents, I guess I'm going to call it. It's a little cup of juice and a little cardboard cracker. But they mean more than that, right? Okay, so go ahead and peel back the top layer and get the cracker. And let's pray for the body. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you chose, you freely gave your life for us, that your body was broken and bruised. Lord, that you were scourged in our place. You received a punishment you did not deserve. You received the punishment we deserve, Lord. And we take this bread and we remember that your body was broken in our place. We remember the pain and the agony that you went through so that we wouldn't have to. And we thank you and we love you. Go ahead and take the bread. Go ahead and peel back that second layer and we'll pray over the juice. Lord, we acknowledge that it is your blood that cleanses us. It is the pouring out of your blood that makes us and washes us white as snow. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your blood that was shed on our behalf so that we could be clothed in your righteousness. Lord, we drink this in remembrance of you. Go ahead and drink.
All right, Marissa, come on up. So we have a rule. We have 2 minutes per person. Rules. Just, I think it's on. Let's see. Yep.
It's on?
Mm-hmm. This is Marissa.
Hi. So my testimony is about the mentorship program, which is really beyond words amazing, because what happens is there's a group of women who pray for a mentor and a Mayrare, which is what the Hebrew term for someone who followed, like a companion. And Lydia, she was just up here. She's my mentor. And it's unbelievable how much we have in common, just our testimonies alone. And God really used it to minister in my life personally, but hers too. And we've just really developed a really close relationship, and I think it's really good for someone looking for a godly person to sort of model your life after and help you walk the walk. And it's just, mm-hmm. It's really, really beautiful and meaningful and probably the best thing I've done here at Calvary.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Yes. So sign up for the mentorship program. Thanks, Marissa. Come on, don't be shy. Hi. All right. Tell them your name and then go ahead and...
So my name is Sabrina, and I really wanted to get involved in the church. It was last semester that I felt God calling on my heart to, well, not only make Calvary my home church, but to get involved. If this was going to be my home church, I needed to get involved. So I joined the women's study, and I wasn't really sure who I was going to meet or if I was even going to meet anyone my age, but... It turns out that that was a semester that they had the college group for the women's study, which was convenient. And through that, I was able to meet some girls that... meet some girls who I was able to open up with and pray with and who were able to give me godly advice and... I was able to contact when I was on the brink of an anxiety attack at work, which was really cool. And I also, this semester, got involved in the internship. And I heard about it, and instantly I was drawn to it. And I'm really happy that I did, because it... I not only found out that one of my spiritual gifts is craftsmanship, which makes sense now, but I get to practice that a lot, and I get to work with my hands, and there's something that happens when you work with your hands. For me, it's that I get to, I guess, appreciate more and get the opportunity to be in awe of God's creativity. I mean, the things that we're making, we're trying to replicate God's creation, which is really hard, but it's also fun. But, yeah, and one last thing with the internship is that I, when I gave my application, I said I was willing to do anything but speak in front of a crowd.
That's great.
And here I am.
Here you are.
Fran asked me to.
Here you are.
Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, sweetie. You can hand it off to Cindy. Come on up, Cindy. Hey, honey.
Guess the Lord cleared up my voice so I could talk tonight.
Okay.
You know what? I just want to say thank you, Jesus, that I get to tell you guys what he's done for me during this study. And Lord, I love you so much. I started this study. Joshua, my favorite verse. He'll never leave me. Be courageous and strong and do not fear. And I thought, oh, cool. Halfway through this study, literally, I woke up and I said, I'm in a battle. And the Lord said, yeah, because you got to practice what I'm teaching you. And then I got another battle. And then I got a third battle. And I said, seriously? I have to have three battles? And he goes, you can do it. You can do it. My first battle, they're all family. And I lost my brother 2 days after Christmas to a stronghold in his life. And then my... other two family members are struggling with strongholds, very serious strongholds, and there's a little child involved, and it is pretty bad. So those were the battles. So then I said, okay, Lord, I can do this, I can do this. And he showed me what to do. What I did is, you guys, it's the back to basics. Quiet time every day. And every time I would have a quiet time, I'd look forward to it. And I'd say, Lord, what are you going to teach me? And it would be something like love. Oh, yeah, I need to love him even though they're driving me insane right now. Okay, I'll love. And he reminds me of that every single day. And then after the quiet time, there's the prayer and the scripture. All day long I would pray, and I'd turn on the radio, and it would be about love that day. I said, oh, yeah, okay, I guess I need to work on that. Unconditionally. Ah, you mean even though they're doing that? Yeah, he says, because remember what Jesus did. Remember how I love you. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And then scripture, tons of scripture all day long in the morning. Mm-hmm. Ladies, do this. When you're in this mm-hmm. battle, you got to do this because it's those holy moments right and left. And it is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to encourage you, do that. And it will get you through. And I'm going, I'm doing this. And then all of a sudden, like a soldier going up that muddy hill, when I first started the battle, I had my nice shiny uniform on. When I was halfway through, I was a little grunged up. And then 2 weeks ago, I fell back, a big blast, and I felt like I was just blinded. And I was in despair. And the Lord said, when you pray for your stronghold problem, children, you pray for yourself. The exact same prayer that you pray for them, you pray for you. Who are you that you don't think you're going to have a stronghold problem or something? So I learned that too. And I said, I went through this despair though, where I said, oh, I'm a terrible mother. This has all happened because I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible daughter. I'm a terrible Bible study leader. Oh Lord, I can't do anything right. I got sick. I stopped all these things. And guess what? I'm here to tell you, you just got to get back up.
Amen.
And you got to start crawling up that hill. Amen. And you got to get back to your basics.
Amen.
And God will be there.
Thank you, my dear. Stay here for a minute.
So ladies, like Cindy just said, we have to walk through it. And she told you some ways to do that. But I just want to ask if, like Cindy, like myself, if you have experienced a loss or you are struggling with any type of stronghold in your life, like she said, and you need prayer, we want you, can you slip up your hand for us? We're going to pray for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for Cindy sharing what she did. Thank you for her vulnerability, Father, and thank you that she is standing up here to tell us that you are faithful.
Amen,
and that you will get us through. And that we start up as that in that shiny uniform, Lord, but we have to keep on going and we get dirty, but you never leave us and you never forsake us. So Father, I pray, help us to keep on pushing through and moving forward.
Yep.
Help these women in here. If they've experienced loss, Father, would you encourage them? Would you speak a word to them?
Yes.
Would you strengthen them?
Yes.
Would you lift them up?
Faith.
And I pray that they would feel your presence. And Father, I just also pray that, for the ones who are struggling with certain strongholds, Lord, and you know what they are, I pray that they would be broken. I pray that they would make a decision, no more. And Father, you would help them to move forward in the strength and in the power of your Spirit. We love you. We ask in Jesus' name.
And Amen. Lord, I just pray one word for all of these ladies. Hope.
Amen.
In my despair, I lost hope.
Mm.
And you said,
mm-hmm.
remember, I'm here always.
Amen.
Have hope.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey.
Hello.
So I am Noelle, and I am one of the leads for Run Passionately, which is under the She Lives Fellowship. And so I'm just going to share a little bit about what God has done in the past year for me. I actually joined just about a year ago when Run Passionately started. And really for me, it was just one small step of obedience to that tug of maybe you should just join in a little. You like to exercise. You like to talk to people. Why don't you just do both once a week? And it has just turned into so much more for me. I just found myself being poured into by the women that attended Run Passionately, and then found that God actually had this big plan for me that is coming to fruition even right now of actually being able to pour back out as I'm being poured into other women's lives, even just through small devotions before we start our exercise. And it's really just been so amazing to see what he can do with just that one small act. And sometimes we don't think about fellowship as obedience, but really it is. God wants us to pour out into our fellow believers, pour out into our fellow women. And so in whatever capacity, I just want to encourage you to join us. If that means you can join us exercising once a week, if that means once a month. If it means you can join us once a quarter and volunteer at our She Lives events, we'd love to see you there. If it means that you could just participate in our events once a quarter, we would love to see you there. And just be ready for what God's going to do and what He's going to open up for you in your heart and just in your time. That's a big thing. We sometimes don't think that we have time for the basics, time for quiet time, time to exercise once a week, time to do any of those things, but He just slowly opens those up. If you're faithful in the small things, He will encourage you. He'll strengthen you to be faithful in the big things. Amen. And so come talk to me if you want to get involved. You can talk to myself. Danielle's going to talk a bit more about getting involved with She Lives too, and we would just love to see you. So,
Amen. Thank you, Noelle. Thanks for the encouragement. Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm Danielle. I'm also one of the leads on She Lives, and I've been thinking all day about how to share what the Lord has done for me through this ministry, but I think Psalm 40, verse 2 starts it beautifully. It says, He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Mm-hmm. And I think in my life, part of the muck and the mire that I had created was around friendships and relationships that were very unhealthy, and the Lord stripped all of those relationships away kind of at once. And that also involved a move across the country to Albuquerque, where I knew no one and had no family. And I was very confused about what God was doing and how could this be part of His plan. And I didn't see His hand and His protection moving in that. And She Lives has been an amazing place to make godly relationships, to be able to be vulnerable with people and to share wisdom where life experience has provided it, but also to sit incredibly humbly at the feet of women who have gone before me and to be poured into. And so, like Noelle said, I think no matter where you are, if you're old or young or have been walking with the Lord for many, many years or are brand new in your walk, we only make each other stronger. Mm-hmm. I love the vision for this ministry of just having God's daughters come together and wrap our arms around each other and walk with mm-hmm. each other through all parts of life. Mm-hmm. So if you have questions, please ask us. Please pray about coming to our events or just seeking out women in the church. I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Sorry, here for a second. So can anybody in here use a friend? Raise up your hand if you can use a friend. All right. Look at all of you. Well, let's pray for you because we want you to have those friends. They want you, Noelle and Danielle and Janae and the team want you to have those friends so you can be strengthened. Iron sharpens iron. And so, Father, I just pray over the women. I thank you for ministries like She Lives. I thank you, Father, for how you work in the hearts of your people and how you know exactly what needs to happen and what dot needs to connect to the next dot to get people to even meet each other and to connect. And Father, I just pray for every woman in here. I pray that you would give her a friend, give her a godly friend. And I just pray that she would be poured into and that she would learn to pour out as well. Form those connections, Father, whether it's in She Lives, Run Passionately, the events they do, the other events on the weekends, quarterly, Father, whatever it is, I just ask that you would open the doors and the ladies would not miss it. They would see and they would walk in. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You good? Hi.
The old one.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Juanita, or Jeannie. Am I too loud?
No, you're good.
Have to read it.
Okay.
As the oldest daughter of five children and a World War II Purple Heart recipient, I heard a lot about war and war stories growing up. I knew Dad was strong, but yet I saw a man that had a commitment, loyalty, and unfailing love for God, country, family, and his fellow GIs and his compadres. When he was dying at the VA hospital, people would come to visit and tell me, he was my godfather. Then a gal, Freda, came. He was my godfather. Then another young man, the same thing. Benito was a lot of godfather. He was a godfather to a lot of people. And I knew after the hospice nurse pronounced him deceased that January early morning, like 2 a.m. in 1998, she told me that we are the next generation. It's up to us to be there for the family. That comment has rang in my ears on many occasions when I see sibling rivalry, jealousy in the family, or gatherings that are not happening anymore because the patriarch is gone. What I learned from Joshua is that he obeyed Moses and he knew God was before him in all decisions. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him. And he did as the Lord had commanded Moses. I realized I had to do as the Lord commands me, not slack, lazy, or negligent of family matters. It became a sensitive issue with me because I tried to do all the family things in my own strength. It was like an idol I had to place at the feet of Jesus and realize he is the commander of the Lord's army, not the arm of my flesh. Oh, it saddens me to think of all the bad examples I set for my family as a single mom. Overworking, dating wrong people, spending money on credit cards, yikes, I didn't have, and just wasting good time that I could have invested for the kingdom. Instead, it was a desert time. God has been faithful to me and brought me back to the living water and refreshed me with his study that I want to obey him so much more. I want to live with a legacy in mind. Many questions that were posed to us throughout the study asked, and I think you guys remember them, is there anyone that you need to forgive in your life? Again, it would come up. Is there anyone you need to forgive in your life? And I knew who that was. I would just write her initials.
Nope.
So in case somebody read my book. So then when a Christian sister who was suffering from MS and who loves this particular young lady, and this young lady was in this lady's wedding. So she phoned me and the test came. I just blurted out. She said, she asked me for her phone number and the test came and I just blurted out. She doesn't talk to me. I can't give it to you. Whoa, where did that come from? I knew the 6-year rift between us. Ugly as it looked, phony hello spoken to her at a wedding or a hey from her came to me at a family gathering. I was always carrying a pity pebble, like this is my pity pebble. And it looks like, well, prayers changed that. On Easter Sunday, we hugged, forgave one another, and I told her, you will always be related to me. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard, like the beard of Aaron. So please, Lord, use me as a priestess in our family. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Stay right here for a minute. Okay, ladies. You know, when people get up here and share their testimonies, they're not just sharing for you to sit there and listen. The Spirit is moving through these ladies. And some of us in here might need to forgive somebody and leave behind a legacy for our children, for our family. We need to be that example and dwell together in unity. So I'm going to ask that you would not maybe write down the initials like our sweet friend did here, but that you would confess it right now openly and raise your hand. And if somebody raises their hand next to you, if you're a friend sitting next to them, I'm just going to ask that you would hold them accountable, that they would reach out. We need to forgive each other as Christ forgave us. So go ahead and slip up your hand if that's you. You need to forgive. And look at all those ladies you're helping. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, you see these ladies. You know their hearts. You know the reason why whatever happened, where an argument or whatever took place, Father. Some of those can be very, very deep wounds. But you heal everything. And in you we have hope. And in you we have strength. And in you we have the power of your Spirit, that we can be forgiving, that we can be kind, that we can be tenderhearted, and that we can forgive others, just as God through Christ forgave us. So I ask that you would strengthen these women. I ask that their friends would hold them accountable who just saw them slip up that hand. I pray that they would reach out and contact the person if that is possible, Father. And if it is not possible for some, maybe that person is no longer here with us, I ask that they would just confess that to you and give it to you, Father, and you would just bring about healing in their life, because forgiveness always, always, always leads to healing and leads us to greater and higher places in you. Let these women leave behind a legacy that is founded in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, sweetie.
Hey, Thamer. Okay. I thought you were looking for the mic. Hi. This is Thamer.
Hi, you guys.
Good evening, sisters in the Lord. My name is Thamer Van, and it's a privilege and a joy to be able to share how worship, praising God, has affected my life. My sister in Christ, Doris, says I'm a heavenly cheerleader for the Lord. It's true, and I would rather praise our God and pray, which is worship, than do anything else in this world. Why, you might ask? Praise and prayer are all about God our Father, Jesus our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our resident truth teacher. Here are a couple familiar praises and song about the Lord that are actually prayer. So I thought we could bow our heads for just a second, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe that you are God, our Father. We believe, Father, that Christ is the Son and our Lord and Savior. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is three in one. We ask, Father, that you forever be glorified, forever that you be lifted high, forever, because you have arisen and you are alive. Amen, amen. And amen. Amen. So, we will, I like to sing. We will enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. We will enter his courts with praise. We will say this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice, for he has made us glad. Here are some of the reasons I praise God. And since we all know praise cannot be done without interaction this evening, during this time of sharing of worship from his word, I'm requesting, as is God, that you respond in praise by raising your hands and shouting, "Praise our Lord." So, example, he is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Praise our Lord. As a child of the living God, we are to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and desire an intimate personal relationship with him because of who he is. Praise our Lord. Praise adores who our Lord is, his person, his character, his names. Praise our Lord. Praise is the atmosphere of the throne room of heaven in Revelation 4. Praise our Lord. Praise is preparation for our heavenly home, where we will praise him forever and where we get a glimpse of heaven. Praise our Lord. Praise confirms our belief in him. Praise our Lord. Praise is where God lives, from Psalm 22:3. Praise our Lord. Praise is where we focus our spiritual eyes on our Lord and see beyond our problem, to lay hold of what a great and mighty God He is. Praise our Lord. Praise provides access into His presence from Psalm 100, which I just sang. Praise our Lord. Praise stirs up our faith from Romans 4:20 and 21. Praise our Lord. Praise is the God-given garment in exchange for the spirit of heaviness. Praise our Lord. We are created to praise Him. Praise our Lord. We are saved to praise Him. Praise our Lord. God delights in it. Praise our Lord. God inspires praise. Praise our Lord. God commands it in His Word. Praise our Lord. God is due all glory, honor, and praise. Praise our Lord. Jesus modeled it in Matthew 6:9. Praise our Lord. Remember in Joshua 5:14 and 15 and chapter 6:2 that the spiritual battle is won in praise and prayer. Remember when Joshua bowed to worship and God told him that Jericho was already in his hands? As the Israelites marched around the city, they walked out the victory already won in praise and worship. Praise our Lord. And finally, God releases power. And this is one that I love to tell people in the church. As God releases power against the enemy when His people praise.
That's right.
Praise is a strategic weapon in spiritual warfare that comes before victory or deliverance, as in 2 Chronicles 20:22. When the praise and worship team went out singing and praising at God's instruction and defeated the enemy. This is something we practice here at Calvary before services. We open up in praise and prayer before we open the Word of God. Collective praise in one accord as a spiritual family is spirit-filled and powerful. Praise our Lord. So why do I love to praise our Lord? Because He alone is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. Praise the Lord. And because the Bible tells me so. Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you. Excellent way to close.